Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Childcare services face the prospect of chaos later this month as staff and providers consider a protest rally during working hours. A senior SIP2 official confirmed that a meeting will take place this Thursday to discuss a range of options in protest at low levels of government funding, high staff turnover and low pay. And SIP2 head of strategic organising, Darragh O'Connor, said that the meeting will take place in Liberty Hall to draw up a common agenda and set of actions including the rally. He said the move is part of a pre-election campaign to highlight issues of concern. He said a protest is one of the options being considered during a working week, bringing together providers and educators, and services would be closing. Now, I'm going to speak to Dara in a moment, but before I do, I want to get your thoughts on this and if you support childcare workers in this action. Now, it is unclear how many services might be affected if the rally goes ahead, but union and provider groups said it is likely to be very significant because SIP2 represents 5,000 staff in the sector, which is roughly a quarter of the total workforce, while groups representing hundreds of providers are involved. And Mr. O'Connor also said issues of concern raised at the recent meetings include a staffing crisis in terms of high turnover rates, low pay, poor levels of government funding. And Eileen Dunn of the Federation of Childcare Providers, representing over 1,000 providers, said there is a lot of support for the rally during the working week. She said, we would close for a day, but would have to talk about that on Thursday. She said there's no point in doing it on a Saturday, and it was because it wouldn't affect anybody. Everybody has had enough. Our parents are very supportive of us going on a rally. She said some creches are set to close and she is considering putting up her fees at her own creche unless there is a government support. Ms. Dunn also said high insurance costs and regulatory requirements are a big concern. Of course, the insurance costs is something that's been in the news quite a lot recently when it comes to childcare and it comes to anything that involves children, really. Now, so I want to know what your thoughts on this is, because obviously it is going to discommode you if your children are in creches or in, you know, preschools or are being looked after during the day while you go out to work and there is a protest, a day where they're not going to take your children. Obviously, you're going to have an alternative arrangement. But in saying that, you do understand the problems that are in the industry. So do you support them? And if the protest goes ahead, will you support them? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp or text them. Maybe your children are in childcare services. Now let me go to Darragh O'Connor from SIP2, who's the head of strategic organising. Darragh, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Niall.
Okay, Darragh, first let's outline the problems in the industry, which seem to be quite a substantial amount of problems. In your eyes, what are the main problems?
Well, you outlined quite a lot of them there. We have very skilled people who've gone off. Many have degrees, masters, lots of different other qualifications. And they're struggling to make ends meet. So most people working in childcare right now earn below the living wage. And that means that they struggle to, just for the basic necessities, that's not a glamorous lifestyle. Mm. That's about putting food on the table and a roof over their head.
So they're on a tenner an hour, maybe, or 10.50 an hour or something ridiculous like that, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So one is that the pay is really low. And that means that there's a high turnover of staff. Sure, why wouldn't you? You look down the road and you look at Lidl and Aldi and you can get a 50% pay increase.
So where are the staff going? When you say, and I'm sorry to stop you there, but when you say there's a high turnover of staff, we understand that in nursing, for example. Nurses here qualify, go into, say, Beaumont or Tallaght Hospital, whatever it is. They kind of get bored of it. There isn't enough opportunities for them. The wages are not good enough, so they move to the NHS, where they feel they have better opportunities or better pay. So where are the staff going? If there's a high turnover, where are the staff going? Are they just going to different creches, or are they leaving the country, or are they just changing their careers because it's not worth it?
It's a bit of all of that. Definitely, the people are moving from creche to creche. You know, people will move for 10 cents an hour because it actually means a lot. You know, an extra 10 cents an hour actually means something. But people are travelling to Dubai where they can earn substantially more. But a lot of people just don't see a future for themselves in the sector, full stop. Like I have a lot of people saying to me and a lot of members, and quite often they say, like, I'm putting my life on hold to do my career. I can't buy a house. I can't have a family. I can barely afford. So many people are still living at home because they can't afford the rent. So you can do that for a while. You can do that for a few
and
years.
And I understand this is not a stopgap career. This is a career for life because there are people who are quite passionate about what they do. So it should be a job that you can depend on to survive on for the rest of your life.
Well, when you've done your degree,
absolutely,
and you've spent your 10 grand, you're getting that. And I mean, it's not just a degree, but we know that when you have really good, high-quality childcare can make a really big impact, a positive impact on a child's life. And particularly from areas of disadvantage, it can put them on the right path, makes them, you know, better able for school, and kind of long-term benefits as well in terms of what kind of job they get or their earnings as well.
And look, and we all know it's really important, particularly in this day and age where mortgages are high, bills are high, lifestyles are different, people need a bit more money to survive nowadays. So we tend to have a lot of families where both parents are working, and you know, and these, it's just necessary in a lot of cases to put your child into these services. Now, the suggestion is that there will be a strike, so to speak, a rally or a protest, whatever word you want to use for it, where they will basically not open for the day. The support you've been getting for that kind of suggestion, has it been good all round, do you think?
It's been tremendously received, and there's a lot of momentum building behind it. The details have to be figured out on Thursday. But I want to say one thing as well, just about the response we're getting. From a lot of parents, we're getting really positive feedback. And it's because workers are suffering, services are suffering, but parents are suffering. Like, I mean, if you any parent who's listening now whilst their kid in creche will tell you all about it, that they could be spending up to €1,000 a month on creche fees.
And what's the solution? So the government part fund a lot of this, right? But so what's the solution to it? I mean, higher creche fees are the only way to get in more money, to pay staff more money, because I've spoken to creche owners who tell us they're not millionaires. They're not making a fortune. Some of them are doing quite well, but others, you know, are just making ends meet. So they can't afford to pay their staff anymore. They can't make the conditions any better. So what is the answer?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you want to make it affordable for parents and you want to make sure that people are paid a decent wage, even a living wage, we'll have to do in Ireland what they do in every other European country, and that's increase state investment, just like the primary schools. And it is a very expensive business, very labour intensive, as you might imagine. There is a cost to it. But the reason why it's
but
so
there's a payback for the government, because if people leave their kids into childcare, they're clearly working and paying tax. So there is a payback, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the big things is that we know that the high cost of childcare is a big barrier for women returning back into the workforce. It's a big barrier for everybody, but particularly women as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we want everybody to be able to go out and have a job and contribute, we're going to have to be able to help people to do that. And that means reducing childcare fees. And that means, look, just like what we do, it's a proper public service. And that means putting proper investment into
it. Would it not be, I mean, I don't know, maybe you can tell me, Darryl, because I'm quite ignorant in relation to it, but would it not be a good idea to give tax credits for people who have children in childcare, whereby they can claim back tax on the amount of money they pay in a single year in childcare costs?
Yeah, it kind of, like, on the surface, it kind of sounds like an idea, but there's a couple of problems with it. One is that if you're lower paid and maybe struggling the most to pay for childcare, the tax credits are less of a benefit. And the other thing is that there's no guarantee that it would actually reduce the cost for parents as well. The fees could still increase as well. So really how they've done it in the other countries, and a lot of people have kind of spent time trying to figure this stuff out, is that obviously you need to increase money into childcare to make it affordable and high quality, absolutely, and then you have to make sure that money is spent properly. That it does.
What is the funding at the moment, Darryl? When if I open up a creche, at the moment, and I want to provide, you know, early years childcare or whatever it happens to be, what sort of funding will I get from the state, or what sort of help will I get from the state?
Well, there's probably one that's familiar to a lot of people is the free preschool year. Or the early education. So that's
for the 3-year olds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So for 38 weeks a year, for 15 hours a week, your child can go in and they pay nothing. Right? That is completely 100% funded by the state. And you get that for 2 years. So that's great. That's a fantastic scheme and really, really helps. The problem for a lot of parents is, well, that's great for the first 3 hours. What am I going to do for the next?
Yeah.
For the next five? So, I mean, we have the wherewithal to be able to make it really, really cheap.
And I understand, but there is a kind of moral argument to it as well. And I understand the point that you're making, and for those parents who find themselves in a really difficult situation, and also for the creche owners who find it very difficult to support this whole thing, this whole industry, it's very difficult, and particularly for the workers who have worked hard, as you said, they got their degrees, hanging out of their you-know-what, and getting paid ridiculously low amounts of money. But there is an argument too that, like, I suppose there are people listening going, hold on for a second, they're your kids. You know, why should the rest of us, the taxpayers, have to fund this for the, you know, for, I don't know, till the child is 9 or 10 years of age, whatever age you want to bring in on it. Why does the taxpayer have to fund this or part fund this when they're your kids?
Yeah, well, I suppose, and you could make the same argument for primary schools or secondary schools or university.
But you can't really, because that's a constitutional thing, isn't it, that we have a right to an education?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's the kind of the price we pay for living in a decent society, mm-hmm. and it's that, like, when you that we all benefit from supports from the state, all of us. I went to school, I've been in hospital, I've benefited from that public sector piece, and I suppose it is thinking about, do we want childcare to be a public service that everyone can kind of benefit from, or is it something that we don't get involved at all and we live with high fees and we live with low wages? If that's the choice that Ireland wants to make, grand. We need to have that debate.
Okay, how much do you? Well, not obviously specifically, how much do you believe they should be paid? But how much would you like to see that increase for the staff, that the mainly women who work in the industry? By the way, I don't know what's the percentage of men and women work in the industry. I'd imagine it's probably 80 or 90% women. Is it?
98% women.
Yeah.
And working in the lowest paid sector in the economy.
For a job that's extremely responsible, let's be clear about it, looking after children, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what sort of increase would, like, I mean, currently you're saying they're on less than the living wage, or somewhere over the minimum wage, less than minimum, so probably about 10, 50 or 11 quid. How much would you like to, how much do you believe they should be paid per hour?
Like, as a minimum, like an absolute minimum, people should be paid a living wage, and that's okay. 12.30 an hour. Like,
right, okay.
That should happen today, that there should be the money there available to
I wouldn't disagree. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But again, clearly the problem is for the creche owners is we have to make up those costs. So we need more government funding. We need reductions in insurance, which is a huge problem at the moment, by the way. And I'm sure that's going to be talked about on Thursday as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I'm certainly not on your show saying that fees need to go up. That is not what I'm saying. We have 200,000 members who are saying childcare fees need to come down for everybody. So the only way to square this circle is that investment in from government. Right. And, you know, and everyone's agree, you know, most people agree, right, we should have good quality, there should be decent jobs, it should be affordable. It's actually the will to make it happen. And I think that's a big part of this.
And of course, what's made the industry more expensive, of course, for the owners of these creches and places is because it has become so heavily regulated, for obvious reasons that we have seen during the year, that they have so many, you know, regulations they must adhere to, that makes it more expensive. And that's all for the sake of the safety of your children as well, obviously.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a little bit of the history of where it all came from, where it was the woman, and almost always the woman down the road who'd look after a few kids, and it was very informal. And I think it's going through a transition where, well,
they want to tax the woman down the road now, don't they? There's a whole, they want the woman down the road now. I mean, when we were talking, I can't remember to who from Fine Gael there recently, and they're bringing in these new measures next year where the woman down the road will have to be regulated and registered and all that. Well, I think that's kind of maybe a little bit over the top, but that's what they want to do now, isn't it?
And particularly, but I think it's, that's not my end of things, but I think it's that if you want to get funding from the state, there's going to be strings attached to it, you know, and I think that's kind of a lot of the motivation behind it all. And, you know, that's fair enough when it's our tax dollars being spent. We want to make sure that it's being spent in the right way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, look, the best of luck on Thursday. And I think you will probably, as long as it doesn't go over one day, people could probably deal with one day. But I suppose if it goes on for a long time or it happens again and again, obviously, if you need to get the point across, that's when public support could be lost. That's the problem, isn't it, Tara?
No, I don't know why parents aren't protesting themselves.
You've got a point.
We're asking parents to join us. And absolutely, affordability is a big plank of the campaign. But I don't have to pay creche fees just yet, but that's going to be a struggle.
All right. Yeah. No, I get it. I wouldn't like to. I'm past that point. My youngest is 18, but I'm past that point, but I wouldn't like to have to do that. Listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming
on. Okay, thanks a lot.
There's Darragh O'Connor from SIP2. Now, let me just go to somebody here. Hold on a second. I have to go to Roisin. Is it? Roisin, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Roisin?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Hey, you work in the industry?
I do. I've been working in the industry now for over 9 years.
Right, okay. And what do you think of the industry in general?
I think it is so undervalued by a lot of parents that use the creches. I'm a parent myself. Mm. I was one of the lucky people that my mom actually minded my two kids, so mine were never in a creche. But when the last recession hit, I was administration for 12, 13 years, and I had to up sticks and change career, and I went into childcare.
Okay.
And I retrained through level 5, level 6, up to room leader, and my pay has kind of more or less stayed the same. I love the job I'm in.
So you're well qualified, and is it rude of me to ask you how much you get per hour?
I'd be skirting around 11.30 an hour. €11.30 an hour.
It's a good job, but you can't survive on that kind of money.
I have two teenagers. My husband is in full-time employment.
Well, you would have to have somebody else in full-time employment.
Well, this is it. But as for my daughter growing up and her for looking for childcare as a career, you can forget about it. I couldn't. Unless major changes happen. For a short time there, I went back out into administration just thinking that, it would be better for me to do that. But I have to say, I felt completely unfulfilled as a person. I actually love working in the childcare sector, but the biggest downfall is
the money.
And
But the only way for you to get more money is to at the moment is to charge parents more money. For leaving their children in, because as I said, most of these people who run these places are not multimillionaires. Some of them make a few quid. There are some who are making a substantial amount of money, some of the bigger ones, but most of them don't make a huge amount of money. So the only way to get more pay is probably to charge those parents more money, unless the government is going to step in and say, well, listen, we're going to fund a percentage of this or a large percentage of this.
Well, that's it, because I don't think people understand how much training, how much, when you go into creches now, there's a whole, it's like a school day as well, they're stimulated, they get much more, there's activities and everything is planned out, their day and their week is planned out.
And what about the argument, Roisin, that we do fund 2 years, right, the preschool years, right, for a certain amount of time, we do fund it, and I mentioned it there to Darragh that there are people listening today who are listening to your tale of woe, and they're saying, well, hold on, it's not my responsibility. I don't have kids, or my kids are older. It's not my responsibility as a taxpayer to fund somebody else's children if they want to go back to work.
Okay, well, that's a separate argument, we'll say. What I'm really on here today is to say that I am a parent, but I'm working in childcare, and we are so sick of hearing all the things all the time to help the parents with the children going to creche. There's never anything for the childcare workers. We have largely paid for all our courses, all ourselves. We've gotten us, we're providing the care of, nurses. We're there with them all the time. We have to administer medication, and some kids in our care could be, they could be in all types of medication.
Yeah.
Roisin,
I'm not doubting for a minute how responsible the job is.
Yeah,
you're looking after children, yes.
Yeah, but I know it's looking after children, but you have nurses held with a higher respect. You have teachers held with higher respect. We're doing the very same thing. We're nursing them children, and we're teaching them day in, day out. And you'd have people that would actually look down their noses at us.
Well, a teacher, I could tell you now, you wouldn't get a teacher working for 10, 50 or 11 euro an hour.
Of course you wouldn't. You wouldn't. But, at the same time, we have to be in employment as well, And because we love what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I do believe that there is a bit of a calling there. There has to be. The same with nurses, the same with teachers.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And
I wouldn't do
just
it.
The whole so downfall of the whole thing is we're there grasping onto hope. Every 6 months that go by, you're hoping that there might be a glimmer of light from the government, something. But there isn't, there isn't. And you're hanging on all the time. And sure, we know time flies by as we're getting older.
What would be a fair, Roisin, I don't mean to rush you, but what would be a fair wage, do you believe, an hourly wage for somebody in your position? You said you're a room leader, yeah.
Maybe you'd be going up to around 13. If there was something, and I mean, I know people, you could be grasping at stars there saying 16.
Yeah, I would have pushed it higher. I would have said 16. I think 16 would be a good, a fair wage.
Yeah, but like that, I live in the real world as well, and I know, you know, like, if you were going to say 13.50, something achievable, something that we could ask for and get and not be aiming way too high in the start.
Mm.
But if there was something small initially now, I think that would make a huge difference. I think it's always the free 2 years, the free tax things. There's nothing for the childcare worker. Just acknowledge us as helping the communities in our area. You know?
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. And I'm just looking here, okay? So 16 an hour would be 33,000 per year, right? If you got 16 euro an hour. I'm just curious now, how many staff would work in... Can I ask how many work in your place? You don't have to tell me where it is. But how many work in your place?
There'd be up to 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. There'd be about 15 of us.
Okay, so there's a wage bill per year of half a million.
Yeah.
And many children would there be?
Oh, gosh, now you're putting me at the spot now.
Roughly?
Oh, maybe I'd say maybe 150.
Right, okay. I'm just trying to work out something.
Yeah.
Here. Okay, now, so if you took the amount of staff and the amount of children you've given me, now I know these are ballpark figures, right? I mean, this is not accurate, right? It works out about 3,328 euro per year per child. So if the state funded 50% of that and, say, funded 1,500 euro extra per year per child, that would leave, you know, the bosses or owners in a better position to increase the salary to 16 euro. So it's only going to cost the state about 1,500 euro per child, which is not an awful lot of money.
No.
To bring your salary up.
No,
I know that doesn't make sense in my head. By the way, I know that just, I know I rattled off a load of figures there.
I know, and I'm trying to keep up with you.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, in the we'll say getting back to the initial thing now, because I'm actually in a hurry. I have to get back to work there myself.
Yep.
But just in relation to a strike and all of that, I could see if this happens that it will be the childcare worker will get the brunt for it because
the parents will be given out.
Yes.
Well, and I understand why, you know, parents have to go to work, obviously, and they rely on the childcare service being open, you know, so they can leave their kids off. So I can understand some parents being angry, but I suppose what you would say is you would plead with the parents to understand and try and support you on occasion.
That's the big thing that I'd say for if it does happen, and I really hope that it does happen.
Because it will be in their interest to support you as well.
It would.
Okay.
Because, I mean, like, this is my job, you know? Like, everyone has to go to work. Like, we're there to help other people go to work, but this is actually our livelihood as well. It's a job.
Okay, listen, you know? Thank you very much indeed for that, Roisin. I know you're in a bit of a hurry to go back, and I appreciate it. All right. Seamus, sorry, I've been keeping you so long. Sorry, Seamus, go ahead.
All right, how are you doing, lad?
Seamus, do you support these childcare workers who will be going
on
essentially a strike? Yeah.
Yeah, strike, I do support them, yeah. I mean, they pay a bit, and, you know, they're they're invaluable, really, to all parents who have to drop their children off. I'm included in that bracket. But, you know, in terms of what they're looking for, yeah, I do agree with it. I think we're living in a banana republic now, officially. If you look at the RSC thing and everything else there yesterday with Leo Varadkar, where hopefully this government, you know, the previous caller spoke about change and the lack of change in the last number of years. There's been no change in the last 10 years.
But, you know, see, childcare is not like healthcare or education, because the difference is that childcare doesn't affect everybody. Childcare is something that only people with young children who are both working need.
It should be either funded partially anyway, but
by the state.
Yeah, absolutely.
But up to what age? Would you set an age limit on that?
I'm not expert on the figures and these things, especially childcare. Like,
so what, what do we consider it, up to 7? You know, I mean, because...
I suppose you have to look at the
budget for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, yeah, but you have to look up the primary school, I suppose. You know, what time did they go up at finish school when they're in primary school in junior infants?
Yeah.
Around half one in the afternoon. Who's going to get off half one to pick up the kids? Like,
yeah, no, it's
one of those things. So maybe up to like senior infants or something like that when they're in you know, the 6-7 age bracket.
But I mean, don't get me wrong, it is. I mean, even the private sector, because most of it is in the private sector, it's disgraceful that you know, somebody like Roisin, who's well qualified, who's done her years of training, and is getting 10, 50, or 11 quid an hour.
I mean, I'm
just looking at the text. Graham here, who's been on the air a few times, is a school teacher, and he says I wouldn't get out of bed for those kind of wages.
No, can I just say something?
I'll talk to Graham after the break, actually. Yeah, go on, sorry.
Sorry, no, just to remind your listeners as well, you know, Leo Varadkar was in charge for the last number of years of Fine Gael, and only 2 years ago, so last year, they opted to give themselves a pay rise of 10% over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are they doing for the people? Absolutely nothing. It's a banana republic officially hit the stage. They're finally going to slip, pardon the form, they're finally going to slip on their own skin.
I mean, I could spend 20 minutes talking about stuff they've wasted money on over the last year.
I know.
And yet we're arguing over what is, I suppose, a necessity for many parents who want to go to work.
There's many necessities, that people require in this state, and they're not getting them. But the self-serving government, they're just serving themselves. It's been evident for so long now. I think two people are just too afraid.
Well, look, there's an election coming up. There's an election coming up, you know.
Well, we hope to God they're out, you know.
Well, I mean, that's people's responsibility to do that, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, the listeners are out there, you know, they're listening to your show. Many listeners are in front of your show as well. Many others are, and many others talk about your show. And they do listen to it. Maybe people are afraid to say it, but they need to get out and vote this crowd out of power, because they've done nothing. They've done nothing for the last 10 years. There's not been one era, not one snippet from an era of a 10-year period, roughly. Of good times in this country under Fine Gael. Nothing.
Okay. Well, I know Leo Varadkar will argue with that, and he did in his little New Year's post that he put up.
He's a goner. I found
his little video that he put up for New Year's, where he said he had, what was this, 2 minutes and 25 seconds or something like that, or whatever it was, to tell everybody what he had done in government. But mind you, he failed to tell everybody what they'd failed to do.
Ask the people. Hopefully the people will come out and tell him what he's done, because he's done nothing, and hopefully they're voted out. Because, I mean, this country needs to change dramatically. Like,
Graham, you're a school teacher.
I am. How are you getting on now?
Are you off again, Graham?
Well, it depends. It's Wednesday. I have a half day. Does that count?
Jesus, Graham. It's like a permanent holiday.
I know. It's great.
I know.
Actually, your jealousy makes it even more fun.
I know.
Listen, my little fellas are in a creche, and there's a man working there, and he's brilliant.
But there is very few men. They were kind of hound. We had a woman on last year, and she hired a man, and some of the female parents said they wouldn't put their children in if there was a man there.
Well, they should be bloody ashamed of themselves.
I know, and it is shameful. It is shameful, because there are men who'd like to work in the industry, you know. But I mean, but getting back to it, I mean, are you surprised to hear what they're getting paid, by the way, or you knew that probably already?
I had a bit of an idea. I actually did think it was a bit more. I would have assumed they would have been living wage at least.
Yeah. 11.50 or 12 quid an hour.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't see anyone can argue against that. Like you said.
And you're right. I mean, you said earlier on you wouldn't get out of bed first. I wouldn't.
Well, at my age, no. There was a time where I did math, obviously. No? But I wasn't trying to support the family at the time. But no, not a hope. I wouldn't do anything for that kind of one.
No, well, not if you're qualified to do the job.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a 17-year-old and you just did or are about to do or didn't do your leaving cert or whatever, that's that kind of money.
Oh, it is, yeah. Flipping burgers somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something.
Actually, you'd probably get more for flipping burgers, to be honest with you.
The hours you get, you might.
Yeah.
You know, you might be able to work more hours, more time.
Yeah. But I mean, I said to her, a reasonable wage, I think, would be 16 an hour.
I would think at least. Yeah. Now, then again, it's easy for me to be chucking on my...
Because, you know, I mean, they're doing the same job as you, in some sense. I mean, they train for a few years. They have to do their FITAC or whatever it is, they're in childcare. I mean, they're looking after children. It's early education, you know, at 3 years of age. I suppose it's not academic education that you would be doing.
Yeah, it's not a million miles. Look, it's the exact same thing. I wouldn't think so. Are you responsible for people's children? Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, I don't think how any parent, at least anyway, would be arguing that you should shortchange them or that they should be shortchanged. Now, how you fix it, I'm not going to pretend I have a solution to it.
So what is that? See, this is the problem, isn't it? What is the solution? Now, I did say today to Dara earlier on from SIP2, the only solution I can see is, because I think government funding would be a problem, I think that's open to all sort of exploitation and tomfoolery. I think the only way is to give tax
credits.
They're
busy building hospitals.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Tax credits is probably the only way to sort it out. So you give a tax credit to parents, which means that if the creches can increase the prices, you give a tax credit to parents, And then obviously they're paying a little bit less, or maybe in and around the same, but they're saving the money every year in tax. So,
yeah, but is that at the end of the day, is that how it's going around? Your previous speaker now, the left and sister, sorry, I didn't catch his name.
Darragh O'Connor, yes.
Yeah, there was scope within that for people to take the mick and it not to have the desired effect.
But if you turn around and said, okay, there's a 40% tax credit on childcare costs, right? Or 30%, whatever it is, right? And then every creche increased its fees by 30% and said, this is the government levy of 30%, which means then that extra 30% that they're making, they could afford then to pay their staff more money.
They could afford to pay the staff more money, but it doesn't change the fees that the parents are.
The fees are expensive, I understand.
Yeah, but no, comparatively speaking to other European countries, from what I understand, we are paying substantially more for childcare.
It depends on what part of the country you're in. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would think, other than if you're lucky enough to have parents sorting you out, yeah, or something else to that effect, and thanks, Mom and Dad, at least one day a week they are. But
I've said this to three people already, Graham, there is a bit of a moral argument as well, because education is part of our constitution. The job you do obviously is funded by the state because it's part of the constitution. It's not part of the constitution to mind somebody else's kids. So what I'm saying is, I don't have kids in childcare, so the argument is, well, why should my taxes fund somebody else's kids so they can go back to work and earn more money? So
because it's beneficial for the state.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But saying that,
that's an easy enough argument to debunk.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand up to... I can understand when it's first thrown out, but it doesn't stand up to any particular inspection. Does the country needs people working to enable both parents...
I wouldn't necessarily always agree with you, but not always. No.
But I mean, would I be okay staying at home if my wife made enough money? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we can't afford that.
And there are many couples out there who are choosing to work, by the way. Are some who have to.
But I would think they'd be in the minority. Like, you know, would I?
Well, I don't know.
I absolutely love my job. Would I prefer to spend time with my kids? I would.
You get bored of it very quickly.
You say that, but I'm off for 3 months during the summer and I don't get bored.
Did you have to remind me of that, Graham?
I do, yeah. you never miss any opportunity to have a dig. I'm not going to do it back.
Okay, well, we'll stay there for a second because Pauline, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Pauline?
Hi, Niall. How are you today?
Good. Say hello to Graham there. He's a school teacher. They don't work too much.
Hi, Graham.
Hi, how are you getting on, Pauline?
They only work 23 hours a week and they only work in 8 months of the year, so it's great crack.
Yeah, I wish. Graham, if I didn't get out of bed for 10:50 an hour, there'd be a lot of people that I look after that couldn't stay at home. I'm a carer in the community. I work for a really good company. But there's a lot of carers that earn 10:50 an hour. That there's a lot of elderly people, disabled children, young children at home, that if I didn't get out of bed or us carers didn't get out of bed, there'd be an awful lot of people the government wouldn't be able to or couldn't afford to look after.
Completely agree. And I work with students with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. I think it's disgraceful because Pauline is doing a thankless job. I wouldn't do it. You have to want to do a job like that. You know, I was up in a hospital recently and I was watching the nurses and they were changing people and doing jobs I wouldn't do. I couldn't do.
I've done that kind of job before. I have to say.
Yeah.
But I have to.
And how much are you getting, Pauline? How much do you get an hour?
I get about 14 euro an hour, but I have to work a lot of hours to be able to have a good life and to be able to pay bills and have holidays. I wouldn't be able to work from 8 till 2 o'clock in the day.
Okay, I'm going to say, any skilled job in this country that needs training of any sort, right? And I don't mean flipping burgers or working in a restaurant or whatever it is, right? Okay, any skilled job that needs any kind of training should have a minimum wage attached to it. And I think we should start introducing different levels of minimum wage. Minimum wage for unskilled jobs and a minimum wage for skilled jobs. The minimum wage for skilled jobs should be 16 an hour.
Well, the government brought in a policy from 2020, all carers have to have their BTEC level 5, which is an 8 module. It's 8 modules, and it costs over €1,000 for the modules to be done. But it doesn't matter to the government that all of carers have 8 modules done, where most of us are classed as domestic. You could knock at some people's door and they're asking you to Uber or they're asking you. You know, it's not valued as a carer. You're not valued as somebody that is helping somebody, like, to be able to...
And what does your job entail, Pauline? So you could be cleaning one day, the next day you could be changing somebody, could you? Be lifting somebody out in and out of wheelchairs?
Every day is different, but my job, I'm classed as a healthcare assistant. So I look after people that can stay at home and I assist them in day-to-day tasks.
Right, that's okay. So people who are not well enough to be independent... Right, okay, I get you.
Which, if they're not well enough to be independent, but they can stay at home with the assistance of me going in or people like me going in.
Yeah, well, I have to say, Graeme, I completely agree with her. And I completely agree that people who are doing these, I call them thankless jobs or undervalued jobs, we should set separate minimum wages for all these kind of sectors.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Sorry, Graeme.
I said, you get no disagreement from me. I worked as a residential care assistant for 5 years with Brothers of Charity. I'm aware of, you know, what's involved in the job.
Yeah.
And I've different family members who have needed kind of assistance previously.
It wouldn't cost us anything to do this because we get the money back. Because if we pay Pauline more money, she's going to go out and spend it anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it all comes back in. You know what I mean? It's just a money go-round, if you know what I mean. Loads of texts, by the way, coming in. Am I qualified to support children and adults with intellectual disability? And I'm on three different pay scales, 10, 22, 11, 80, and 13, 86. Most of my errors are 11, 80, says Philip in West Cork. Again, working with children with intellectual disabilities, with the greatest respect, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't have the patience to do it. Fair play to you. Well done to you. And you should be getting more than 11.80 an hour.
It seems a simple solution to me would be to nationalise childcare. Have it as a whole sector going from childcare to primary to secondary. I mean, if you get the health service and system, you could cut the health service by a couple of billion and then put that onto the childcares. Would make more sense to me. Thanks a lot, Carol.
Carl, yeah, good suggestion, Carl. I do see a problem with that. So where do you stop then? What else do you nationalise? What about somebody who mentioned they look after people with intellectual disabilities? What about Pauline, who was on the air a few minutes ago and who's a carer? Should we nationalise that as well, that industry too? And where do you stop with nationalising industries just because we believe we have some sort of social responsibility to that particular industry? I don't know if that would work. Pauline, maybe you would have a better idea. I don't think it could. You can't nationalise everything. You can't have the state pay for everything.
If they're looking for money off the health board, the money is going to say they haven't got money to give.
Mm.
You know, they're going to. I mean, there's people waiting on beds in the hospital. 60 people were refused beds this week already because the hospitals are so full at the moment. So, I mean, there's a crisis with the health board anyway.
So, yeah, and I mean, if we're to give them more responsibility, i.e. to take you under their wing and take childcare workers under their wing and everybody else has to be paid by the state, firstly, it's going to cost a lot of money and I just think that would be too much. I think some of it has to be privatised.
I don't think that it's going to be feasible for them to do that.
No.
Because, as I said, they're overstretched as it is. So they're not going to be able to afford. I think they owe so many billions as it is without taking on more responsibility.
You're right. Yeah. Okay, let me go to Sarah as well. Thanks for that, Pauline. Sarah, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hi, not bad, man.
Good. You have a child in a creche?
Yeah, I do. He is 2.
Okay.
Like, listening to the guys that are talking from the creche, I cannot honestly praise the staff enough. They are absolutely brilliant. They deserve the sun, moon and stars for the work that they do. Like, I go to work every day knowing my child is being looked after.
And it's safe.
It's safe, exactly, yeah. Any incident, I know they're going to call me or they'll, you know, if it's something smaller, they'll let me know once I pick them up. And honestly, they have a personal connection with you as opposed to them just going in.
Well, I think the most important thing in your situation is peace of mind.
Yeah, like, I had him in one creche prior. Like, I'm a single parent, so creches can be quite costly. I had him in one creche that was costing me €840 per month, which I thought, you know, for one child that was 6 months old at the time was an extremely high amount for any person to pay.
I wouldn't have a clue, but I'm assuming you're correct. And I don't know how expensive €840 sounds like a lot of money. But there are people paying more than that, I imagine.
Oh, they do. And like this new national childcare scheme, it's given people like me a relief. You know, it's given us an out. Like, my creche fees now at the moment are almost non-existent because I am such a low earner.
Right.
I myself would be a qualified care assistant. I'm a qualified special needs assistant, and I'm also a qualified broker.
Right.
I didn't go into the initial two jobs because I knew the wages was crap. Like, before you started a job, you know, going into college, what earnings you're going to expect to have in a job. So it's like, it's, I don't know why people keep complaining about what they're earning. You know, you knew.
I know, I understand. I know, I do. I do. And I often say that too. So maybe I'm in a bit of a hypocrite. So you don't agree with the protest or the closures because your argument is, okay, it's a low paying job, but you knew what it was before you went into it. So what are you moaning about?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, look, you know, I have the same argument. You know, I'm a skilled worker. I need a skill set. I have to do every year. I need to retain. You know, I need to do hours. I need to retain the qualification, et cetera. It's not a case that I just pass through college and, you know, off I go for the rest of my life. That's fine. I need to retain hours every year. If I'm not working, I need to pay for these myself. If you're in work, normally it's the employer pays them.
And I would agree with you, by the way, because when I was talking about teachers and nurses last year and the strikes, my argument was, listen, you knew what you were going to get paid before you went and did your training to be a teacher or to be a nurse or whatever it was, right? But when it comes to childcare or carers in general, the pay seems to be so low that I think there's a fair argument to say, well, we should be paying them more.
Oh, yeah, again, completely agree with you there. They should be paid more. But, like, again, the argument is saying to it, if you know what you're going to be paid, don't go into that. If they see a lack of workers going in, they're going to have to increase. The same with them to the military. At the moment, they're having to withdraw, you know, terms that they wrote in. Going back in 2012, they changed the contract. They've seen a massive drop in people. They eventually have to change.
Yeah, nobody's interested, yeah. You know, that's a good point. It is a good point, yeah, because if there isn't enough money and people are not going to go into the industry, you're going to have a shortage, so then the money will automatically have to go up to encourage more people in. I'm sorry, I've run out of time, by the way. Thank you very much indeed, Sarah.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.